Welcome back to the Husky Fan Podcast, everyone. This is a very pivotal episode for a pivotal time in the season. As always, I'm here with my bro, my main man, Jimmy Cornell. Jimmy, can you muster up the strength to produce this podcast?
Yeah, I'm really excited to break down North Dakota game. It's going to be one for the ages.
Yeah, so with that said, I got some notes here. I actually did some prep for the pod. I don't know about yourself.
Yeah, but, zero prep for the scrimmage.
Either way, I'm expecting an A-plus effort and output from you for this pod. But first of all, I don't want to waste time, but before we forget, how about Will motherfucking Disley?
I had a feeling you were going to start the pod about Willie boy. Well, I can tell you what, he made Russell look good. At least padded his stats some. Will Disley, boy, what? Just imagine how underutilized, or if he had redshirted at Washington, what his career even might have looked at. He probably wouldn't have waited until the fifth round to be drafted. Fourth round, excuse me.
Get it right.
Yeah, bad. Fantastic. I was jacked to see that.
We've been saying it for the last couple of years, but he really was underutilized at UW. All these experts are saying, oh, he's a blocking tight end. It's like, do you people even watch any film? Like, look at him last year as a receiver when they threw the ball to him. He would break tackles. He would drag guys downfield.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I got lots of texts because I was telling, you know, my NFL friends, my friends who are more into the NFL than college, and I was telling them, like, yeah, this guy Will Disley is my favorite player. I'm like, he's awesome.
The NFL is a junk product, unfortunately. It's not very good.
Yeah, it's not very good except for just watching our dogs because we got tons of them out there now. Did you appreciate Marcus Peters last night?
I did.
And the junk grab on the pick six?
Yep, that was special. That was a special moment.
Yeah. I like that Rams team. They kind of seem like the Seahawks maybe 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah, got a chip on their shoulder, angry, nasty, got good players, Gurley's a beast, all that. But now, Chest, can I toot my horn? I want to beat my chest a little bit.
And
we'll get into it later, but I just want to point out early on, because some people might turn off, you know, whatever, they can't listen to the whole thing. I just want to remind everyone, all of the comments I made about Haener's arm and the velocity on the ball, I think he proved that he has an arm, and that I wasn't just making shit up on the pod about the kid.
Yeah, no, it was a good outing for him, and I think even I had a tweet about Joel Klatt because he was on with Softy, and he was kind of dismissive of just the whole thing. You know, is there a quarterback controversy, et cetera, et cetera? But he was saying that. You do give Haener more reps, like you start giving him more reps. So, I mean, for someone who doesn't, you know, who doesn't buy into there should be a controversy and who's not a Browning basher at the low end, as far as you know, how they feel about the situation, they at least think that you give Haener more reps.
Well, granted, it was a scrimmage, but frankly, have you seen a better outing of a guy? Now, I know he's playing inferior talent in regards to, you know, their typical opponent in the Pac-9 and, you know, obviously SEC's teams. But you had to have liked his command of the pocket, his decisiveness in his throwing, and his accuracy.
Sorry to interrupt, brother, but those guys were not wide open he was throwing to. I mean, it wasn't a situation where he was throwing bombs and guys were like 5 yards, 10 yards open downfield. You know, the sideline pass to Ty Jones and then the one in the end zone. I mean, those were completions because he put the ball right where he needed to be.
Yeah, the kid, earned his stripes early, and I don't think Browning wanted to see him come in. I think Browning knows he can ball out. The wide receivers spoke highly of him, and they were excited for him. He showed enthusiasm. And the bottom line is that he took that opportunity and he made the most of it. I mean, he was perfect on the day. He didn't have an incompletion. He was outstanding. You got to give him credit.
And I think the issue, and we're going to talk quite a bit about it in this podcast, because I think we both agree this is a real pivotal game for Jake Browning and his legacy and how his career finishes out. And I mean, you may disagree with me. Of course, we have to see Haener play and what he looks like on the field against top tier competition. But he's not better than Browning. I mean, you could disagree with me. However, Browning's attitude and being a shitty teammate, that could be affecting the performance of the entire team to the degree that you have to bench Browning and put Haener in there. The team can get a boost from that, even if Haener is not the quarterback that Browning is.
Jess, can I interrupt you now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I interrupt you? Well, if I'm not mistaken, Coach Peterson mentions what he wants from his quarterbacks is good decision-making, accuracy, don't turn the ball over. To be frank, Browning to start the year hasn't been making all of those great decisions we talk about. He's turned the ball over. He's had some really unfortunate turnovers, which you would not hope for your four-year starter. Now, I understand it's early in the year, but I think to your point, I think it's quite apparent there's an attitude issue. We saw it last year in Arizona State. His body language sucks. His enthusiasm there is there at times. But there's something seems to be a little bit off with the team. I don't know if it's with Hamden coming in. I mean, I think the defense is fine. I mean, there's some tweaks there to be done in the defense. I think the defensive side is a little bit more cohesive. Obviously, they're used to, they have Kwiatkowski around. All those guys have been around. Hamden comes in. That could be a little bit of a ripple learning with him. But they've had past experience with him. I mean, he was this here, 2 years ago as the wide receiver coach?
Correct.
So I don't know what it is. I mean, Pete was pissed at halftime. He wants someone to block somebody. We saw the slow starts, though, where they're a better second-half team. I don't know what it is, but they've got to find a little bit of lightning in the bottle to start the game. And when you talk about a pivotal game for Browning, it's a pivotal game for the team, obviously, going to Utah. You cannot afford a slow start. You're going to have to neutralize that crowd early. It's a difficult place to play, especially when you get the crowd involved. The crowd's right on top of you. So we'll see. A couple days ago, I wasn't really excited or had a lot of confidence in the game, but that's slowly turning as I think more about the game.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of where we can go with those initial thoughts.
Think hard, friend.
Yes, it's hard. So is podcasting.
Really back to your Browning, you're really tied into this. I'm happy to argue with you if Haener's better than Browning. I mean, Browning's got the knee brace. I know you have a thing about his attitude. I think where, you want to take the conversation is Browning's legacy and what this game ahead could potentially mean for him.
Well, I mean, aside from that, can he continue to lead the offense? I mean, can the team be confident the rest of the way if they lose this game and they're 1-2? Even though they'd only be 0-1 in conference play, I mean, if this is another game that they lose and Browning is, you know, somewhat of the culprit as to the reason why they lose, I mean, that's my worry. I mean, it seems like he doesn't have good control of the locker room as is. He's not that, you know, we could be wrong, but it doesn't appear that he's that well respected or liked by his teammates. And look, it's fine if he's a winner, but I mean, he hasn't proven that he can be a winner. And I mean,
technically he is a winner, Chest. I mean, he's does not have a losing record.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably the wrong choice of words, but
yeah.
And I think it's his, it's just his attitude. And, you know, like I said, I think that seeps into the rest of the team and affects the mindset of the whole team.
I mean, it's hard to argue that, though obviously we don't have, at least I don't have intimate knowledge of the locker room and what the chemistry is like. I know it was discussed, I think, in fall camp. I think Trey Adams had commented he thought this was the closest team that he's been part of. Who knows? It seems like you hear that every year, like they never worked harder. You know, I remember the Jake Locker boxing off-season natty workout they did. All the guys did boxing together.
Yeah.
And it was the hardest they ever worked. I don't think that really worked out well. But hard to know. Though, I mean, like I've said, we've seen past behavior that just has you question how this team rallies behind this guy. I mean, who knows? But, I mean, we talk about, like, this team is, you know, mediocre. I mean, they've won a lot of football games. I think where the next step is, you want to see them make the big win. They should have been in the Pac-12 championship last year. They should be in it this year. But after the two games to start the season, you wonder, like, where's the season going to go? But we also knew last year with preseason scrimmages, people were wondering where was the running game. This team looks a little sloppy, a little ugly. So,
well,
they can't afford that this week.
Let me stop you for a second and go back to Browning, because I think examples of him affecting the entire team, I think we can go back to the ASU game last year and even the Stanford game, where the Stanford game, we're killing them in the first half and it looks like we're going to win the game by 20 and blow them out. And then suddenly something just changes. And so thinking about those games, you know, those to me are examples of how Browning's play or attitude can affect the entire team. And to me, it's real disappointing. I mean, well, obviously, you know, maybe we'll eat our words in the next podcast, but, you know, like you, I'm just because of the way he acted this past game. I mean, you know, I may be alone in my thinking on the Auburn game, but nobody thought that he could throw for 300 yards on only 32 passes. I mean, aside from a few plays, I thought that was the best game he probably played in his career. I mean, he was under pressure. He made a lot of throws under pressure. He ran for a couple first downs. I mean, there are a lot of things from that game that he can build on. But if he's going to let his attitude and his just weak mentality affect him, I mean, it's unfortunate because I still think that he can build on his career and get better and be a better leader. But it just looks like, you know, his mental game is getting in the way of that.
Look, a lot of the critique for Jake has been not being able to perform during crunch time. He can throw for 300 yards against Auburn. That's great. But, I mean, frankly, I mean, we know the speed option was a bad call. But, he kind of soiled his shorts on that pitch play. He knew he was going to get hammered. He was late on the pitch. You know, they had an opportunity to win the game on the last drive. And, you know, there's two situations where he doesn't even throw the ball. I mean, he takes a sack. He takes a couple sacks. And I think that I don't know what he can build on, because when the lights get bright, you know, and the magnifying glass is on his game. It in what we've seen, it doesn't appear that he really relishes those moments when it counts the most. And I think that's the greatest critique. You know, he's shown he can throw the ball all over the yard. He has the 40-plus touchdown season. He's got all the stats. However, you know, like the Alabama interception, the pass to LeVon Coleman, I mean, he panicked and threw that ball. I mean, he can watch that over and over and knows probably 99 out of 100 times he wouldn't throw that pass. But he's like, he kind of just chucked it up there, like crossing his fingers. And unfortunately, he hasn't been able to shake that.
I can't dispute what you said. I mean, the important thing that you said is him, the under the lights in the crunch time, he soils himself. That can't be disputed. However, how he play in the Auburn, I mean, he didn't come close to playing like that against Alabama, Penn State, or USC. And I know that Auburn, you know, their secondary was probably a little weak, but still, against that front seven, you know, that was way better than what he's shown in similar, in similar instances in the past.
Sure. No, I get it.
I feel like even with that being said, you know, if you can look at that, if you're Jake Browning here, the coaches, that's something that you can build on. Like, yeah, we didn't win the game, but, you know, here's what we did wrong. You know, here's what you did well. There was a lot of good things to take away from that game, and we're not going to be facing that kind of a defense later this season. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's just what's disappointing, and then his actions and his behavior in the last game, and just the middle of that game, he's acting like he doesn't even care. He's throwing, you know, horrible passes. It's just it's all mental with him, because he looks fine early in the game. He's throwing great passes, and then suddenly he's you know, after they can't score a couple times, and then he throws a couple horrible passes.
Can I ask you a question? What did you think of the North Dakota defense, where you had 17 points against them in three quarters? Now, you told us, they'll never face another defense like Auburn, but he seemed to struggle. I don't mean to laugh. Like, he's a D1 quarterback. I'm just a prognosticator. I'm a Monday morning armchair quarterback.
Well, I don't.
It was the vaunted North Dakota defense almost too much for him to handle?
You really can't take that much out of that game. There's only a couple things that I'm going to take away from that game. And
okay.
That's another example of it being a mental issue. You know, how you can have better statistics against a defense like Auburn compared to North Dakota. I mean, look,
it should have been 35-0, and it should have been backups the entire second half, but it wasn't. Hayner should have had two quarters. Seriously. At least a quarter and a half. But they didn't, so. Doesn't matter. I mean, this could just be them preparing themselves for Utah, working out the kinks, and they're going to unleash, you know, what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it was a flat performance. It's just you're playing against a team that you know you can beat with no effort. And, you know, coming off of a really difficult loss, there's not a lot that you can take away from the game.
Sure. I get it. Yeah. I mean,
to me, I think the biggest issues from the game, I mean, the two issues to me from the game are, number one, I think Nick Harris getting hurt on the offensive line. I think that the offensive line definitely looked different. I think the second issue is Browning and his just up and down mental game.
What did you think about the offensive line? What were your thoughts there?
My thoughts are we're already down, including Nick Harris. We're already down two starters. I mean, I think the rumor is that he had a concussion. DJ Beavers is in a boot. I mean, I don't, like, if we're thinking about, you know, where we are at the end of spring from where we are now, we're already down 4 starters.
Yeah, I mean, how does that happen? I mean, we already talked about last year with all the injuries sustained, but there's no way that can be repeated this year. It already feels like we're well on the way.
Yeah, and you have injuries in the spots that they can't happen, basically.
What did you think of Sosabe's performance at center?
Oh, it was not. I thought it was terrible, but apparently Pro Football Focus thought it was good, so I don't know what the hell they're watching or grading.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. But also Wattenberg, he's really a weak link on the offensive line.
Yeah, that's...
And on the depth chart, Bainavalu is now backing up Wattenberg, so if Wattenberg stinks this game, I wouldn't be surprised if they put in Henry at some point.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to have to give him an opportunity.
And, you know, I hope Harris can come back, return for this game, because Sosabe is not good.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a real struggle on Saturday.
Now, with respect to Gaskin and the run game, I mean, this has always been the case in these non-conference early season games. I mean, even in 2016, you know, his run statistics were not that great. So I'm not concerned. I mean, yes, I'm concerned about the offensive line, but I'm not concerned about Gaskin or being able to run the ball most of the time. I don't think the struggle to run the ball in this pass game is really that meaningful. I mean, if you watch a lot of the plays, North Dakota, I mean, they were selling out to stop the run basically the whole time. I mean, there were some plays where they had, you know, 7 or 8 guys in the box and we only had 5 blockers. So I'm not terribly concerned about that. I mean, it's along with our precedent of the last couple of years where we ran the ball much better when we got into conference play. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I'm honestly not going to worry too much about it. You know, I think, like you said, there's little takeaways from the game as a whole. I mean, I'm sure their attitude towards Utah is going to be a little different than it was to North Dakota.
But I am worried about Harris and that injury.
Oh, yeah. I think if you're going to have to roll out Sosabe for an entire game, I think that could be certainly something to impact the result of Saturday.
Yeah. No, that's definitely worth some points if you're a gambling man.
So, I mean, how much more time do we want to spend on North Dakota? Do you want to highlight a few of the athletes that we enjoyed seeing them play on Saturday? I mean, I guess I don't want to talk about Browning anymore.
Right. We'll have some questions about that. But as far as athletes, are you talking about Nagata, Joe Tryon, some of the receivers?
Yep.
Oh, Chico. And
the other comment, I want to make sure that we point out McClatcher's larger role as well. He got a few more touches, and you could see the impact.
Yeah, on the receivers, I mean, boy, they've been such a pleasant surprise. I mean, I think we called it, you know, a month ago with our podcast, predicting that linebacker would really be the issue for this team and not receivers. And yep. Chica, one thing on receivers, Andre Bocelli, like, he's just not that good. I mean, why is he out? Why is he starting? Like, he doesn't have, you know, he can't break a tackle like the other, like Chico can. I mean, he's clearly like your fifth or sixth best wide receiver. I don't know why he's out there, you know, getting the action that he does.
Maybe they're rewarding maybe he's a great practice player. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, I know he's fast, and I think he jumps really high, and he does really well in the combine stuff, but, you know, Javon Dotson was the same way. I mean, but it's not translating to the field. And if you look at Chico and what Ty Jones and Fuller and Pounds have done, I mean, Bocelli is not even close to those other guys. I mean, I don't know why they're giving him targets, why he's on the depth chart starting.
It must be that they're just enamored with the speed. I mean, what else could it be? Does he show that he's got consistent hands in practice? Moreover, hard to know. I frankly like the look of Alex Cook. Like, it gets you more size out of the position.
How big is he?
I think he's close to. I think he's just over 6 foot. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Got good size at wide receiver. I couldn't tell you. That one I have no insight on, man. They got their reasons, though.
Yeah, but Chico, I think that was a positive surprise after he kind of struggled the first week. I mean, he definitely looked like he was back to his old self. I know North Dakota's a different opponent, but what do you want to say about Chico?
Well, Chess, he only got like one or two. He didn't get on the field much against Auburn. He got more opportunities against North Dakota. Granted, again, talent level's different. I get it. But he got more opportunities with the ball. And, you know, he wasn't involved in the game plan against Auburn for whatever reason. It was pretty clear he wasn't part of that game plan.
Right.
So, well, I just like to go back to your points that you made in the past. He was one of your explosive players on big plays, and you know if that's what this team wants is explosive plays, Chico's a guy that needs to see the ball. Now, I grit. There's only so many balls I can go around, right? I mean, Gaskin's got to get his touches. Ahmed needs to get his touches. Again, no one can pronounce Savon Ahmed's name correctly. I don't know if you caught that on the broadcast or if you watched. I think you went to the game so you didn't hear it. But Yogi's partner was not paying attention to the details. So Ty Jones needs his touches. Fuller needs his touches. So, I mean, there's some guys, you know.
Our buddy... at Huskies fan 91, he made the great comparison that Fuller is like our Doug Baldwin.
Yeah. So, and you know what though? I think Fuller's more athletic than Baldwin, personally.
Yeah, no, I think Fuller. I mean, he's doing a really nice job, and you know, if Jake had some really poor throws to Fuller, I mean, if he was catching, if he was receiving more accurate passes, he would have done a lot more damage. I mean, I am, we talked about the explosive plays, and to me, the only things that can derail that are offensive line injuries and, you know, Browning just shitting on himself like he has a tendency to do at times. I mean, look at how well the receivers have played, and, you know, you have Ahmed and Gaskin, as you said. I mean, this should be an offense that, if the line can hold up, that puts pressure on other defenses.
Well, absolutely. 100%. Like, I hope that we see a little bit more creativity out of this offense against Utah as well. Like, are they saving the offense for Pac-9 play? I mean, I just hope we get a little bit more.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second. There weren't a lot of shifts and motions. I mean, do you remember?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing any. And that I think answers the question as far as, you know, holding things back, because we know that they love to do the shifts and motioning.
Well, maybe Hamden doesn't know how to execute it. And that, you know, that's the other argument, right? I mean, the offense looked better with the other guys in there. I don't know if North Dakota was subbing out, but you know, they got it going with like Pleasant and McGrew and Hayner. I mean, Ty Jones was still out there.
Well, I mean, that could have been backups against backups.
That's what I was asking. I mean, like, I get it. Like, I don't think you can make a lot.
You can't you can't read too much into the game. But any
thing is that I think we're going to learn more, obviously, against Utah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Let's talk about a couple guys on defense. Nagata got in there again, forced a fumble. I think it was the first, you know, real meaningful play of the game. Joe Tryon at the end, I mean, he looked really explosive, just like an elite athlete to me. I mean, I know that he was going against probably backups, but man, he looked really fast. Like he looked like he needs to get some more time.
He was running through people and like crushing people. So I guess what's puzzling is they don't appear to have tremendous amount of athleticism at the linebacker position. And Nagata and Tryon appear to have a whole nother level of athleticism compared to the starters. Now, I get they got the experience, they got the playbook down, but you are going to have to find ways for some athleticism and some raw talent to make some plays because those two appear to have it. Nagata showed it against Auburn. So
Yeah, and you might have to let them make a few mistakes along the way. And sometimes, Jimmy, you just have to play guys to find out how good they are. I mean, there's a lot of great players who, you know, maybe in practice they don't look like they're ready to go in, but then when they get in a game situation, they just, you know, for some reason, they just play so much better than you would have thought when they're in practice. And so with Joe Tryon, I mean, who knows? Is it going to take him a season or half a season or three games where you can actually put him in there situationally in conference play? I mean, the problem with him and Nagata is, you know, can they be effective on more than just rushing the quarterback? Because, people want to replace Benning, but Benning is really good against the run. He's okay as a pass rusher, but he's so good on the edge against the run that you can't, you know, you're not going to take him out of the game just to put somebody in who's a really good pass rusher in a third and long situation. So I think with Tryon and Nagata, they have to show that they can drop back into coverage. But, you know, maybe they can. I just hope that we see, you know, Nagata, we've already seen it. But I hope with Tryon, too, that we see those guys. You know, maybe if we're ahead a lot in one of these games, don't be afraid to have them in there and make a mistake or two.
Oh, I think it's essential. I think this has been an opportunistic defense. And, I mean, in the past, and I don't know that we've seen that yet, right? Do we have a turnover on defense yet?
No. Or just one, I think, that fumble.
The fumble, yeah, just one.
But,
no interceptions.
And that's where you can change the game. I mean, in the NFL, and I'm sure it's probably true in college, someone was telling me that there's a direct correlation between sacks and forcing turnovers. And that's, I mean, if we can get, you know, Nagata to the point where he's a real force, and, you know, maybe Benning can, improve at some point, that's something that can really change things for the defense. Because this was even the problem last year. They weren't forcing turnovers like they did in 2016.
Nope. Not yet. Not yet, anyway.
And, yeah, so that's, I mean, that's, you know, that's really the issues that we have as a team. I mean, I think there was a question, someone was asking me, you know, how come we can't, you know, win these games against these elite teams and these close games? Well, in close games, you know, at the end, you need to have a pass rush to stop the other team from scoring. And if you're on offense, you need to have a dynamic quarterback who can make plays. I mean, we're a very good, nearly elite team, except for at those spots. And with the pass rush, I mean, if we could just get that, Rick could be a threat. You know, the defense is just going to elevate our play, elevate how good we are as a team.
Do you subscribe to the belief that, you know, Pete played to win at Boise, though at Washington he's playing not to lose? Did we cover this last week?
Did that come from a message board?
Potentially.
Yeah, I mean, that seems ridiculous to me. I mean, how is he playing not to lose?
Well, you know, like at Boise, you know, you always have, like, the Statue of Liberty play, the, you know, what they did against Oklahoma, some of the chances they took on offense, you know.
But how would that have worked against Auburn's front seven?
I don't know. I'm sure Oklahoma had a decent one back in the day at the Fiesta Bowl. What would that, Ian Johnson and Kellen Moore? I mean, you're telling me Kellen Moore was, I mean, he was good, but he wasn't like, was he dynamic? I don't know.
Kellen Moore was way better than Browning. I mean, that's a big difference. He was a way better quarterback than Browning. I'm not going to argue
that, but would you call him dynamic?
You know, I wouldn't call him dynamic, but I just think he was really solid. I mean, yeah. He probably had some fourth quarter comebacks. To me, he was on another level than Browning. I mean, he is what you would have hoped that Browning, you know, would have been.
Is Browning injured? He's got a knee brace.
Maybe he is.
Is he hurt?
I don't know. I'm not in the meetings with the doctors.
I mean, I think there's always been critique of his footwork and, you know, not stepping into his throws. And, you know, his mechanics, you know, don't appear to be very good.
His footwork was good against Auburn, though.
Was it?
Yeah, I thought it was very good. He moved around well in the pocket.
I don't think he had a brace on for the Auburn game. Pretty sure he didn't have that brace on the week before North Dakota. So something happened with the knee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to take the conversation ahead to Utah, because we're not doing a second pod this week, or we can get into questions, but I can tell you that I believe Haener is going to get meaningful snaps against Utah. I think he plays. I think Pete is going to be forced to give Haener a series or two.
But you said you were starting to feel, you know, a couple days ago you were not feeling good about the game. You're starting to feel a little bit better, but not well enough to the point where you think Browning's going to play the whole game.
Yeah, I think Jake Haener is going to play on Saturday. I think Browning is either, it's going to be the excuse is that he's not 100% healthy. I think he's going to force Pete's hand to play Haener.
That's going to be for Haener, that's going to be a whole different ball game than what he did in the last game.
Well, if Yogi Roth is correct, he said on the broadcast, which he never would really critique Browning. It's just really like, come on. He said that Haener has a massive chip on his shoulder. So I think, you know, Haener has something to prove. He showed, you know, I think he showed some good confidence, good command of the pocket, good command of the, you know, the offense as a whole. I don't think this stage will be too big for him. He played big time high school football. I mean, Najee Harris was his running back. I mean, these guys, you know, they didn't screw around. I mean, they were serious. So
you think it's going to be an injury issue for Browning, not a performance issue?
I think the knee will be an excuse for his performance. Because if his attitude and his mental game is off, like, I don't know, like all this pressure and the articles around, you know, this is the year to prove the critics wrong. I mean, that's like artificial pressure that honestly doesn't really need to be there. But if you're going to do like, you know, expose articles in this local sports section and you want to prove people wrong, I mean, sometimes I can just put the wrong pressure on someone that, like, if you say they're not mentally very strong, that type of pressure will just start to eat at you, and it will infect your game. And that might be where he is right now. And I said I knew I didn't want to talk Jake again, but looking into the Utah game, I think these factors could be what puts Hayner in a position to play. He's feeling it on the weight of it, all of this on his shoulders, and it's seeping into his mental game, and it's going to, you know, ultimately affect his play.
And affect the team's play as well.
No, of course. Yeah, I think Hayner can give him a bunk, and give him, get him juiced.
I mean, it's hard to know, but Hayner could, I mean, in theory, he could give the team a bump just because Browning is he's pushing the team lower. He's doing the opposite of a bump just with his attitude and his poor play and his behavior.
And if there is a problem with the locker room, there is a problem with him, I mean, Pete can't let that linger. He cannot let that fester because that's something that can tank a season. They can't afford to tank the season. And we talked about it, like, if this team, frankly, loses three games after all these years and the continuity and the recruiting, and, you know, they got some holes, I just think, sorry, but I think three wins is a disappointment.
Or, three losses?
Three losses is a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, can we at least say that the playoff thing is kind of ridiculous.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, you've already lost four starters. I mean, you look at how good these are.
They gotta beat Stanford. I mean, honestly, Stanford looks pretty good.
Yeah, Stanford right now is probably the best team in the league. But you're right. I mean, that's what the season really comes down to. And look, if Stanford loses one other game, I'm looking at the schedule. They have to go to at Arizona State. I mean, that's a really hard place to play. Mm-hmm. Let's say Stanford loses that game. Then if we beat Stanford, after Stanford, we have the Beavers and Wazoo. Okay, so up until that point, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 conference games. So we'd only need to go 4-2 in our first 6 conference games if we beat Stanford to probably win the North. I mean, 4-2 against Utah, ASU, UCLA, Oregon, Colorado, Cal. I mean, 4-2 against that group should not be that hard. I mean, I know that the bottom of the league and the middle of the league is probably a lot stronger this year. So, you know, and this is another thing with Browning. You know, we're not going to win. We may not win a lot of these games by 20, 30 points.
No, we're not.
and you need mental toughness throughout the whole game.
Okay, are we getting to questions? Do you want to break down Utah? What's next?
Let's talk about Utah a little bit before we get to questions.
All right. What do you want to talk about, Utah?
I've watched a good deal of their last game.
Yeah,
and I watched part of the first game. They're not that good of a team, to be honest. I think many of us thought they would be better this year.
Yeah,
I mean, Tyler Huntley does not look any better. They lost their two best receivers off of last year's team, Carrington, and then I think Raylon Singleton, who's 6'3", 6'4", guy, who transferred. So they had two really good receivers. They basically, other than, you know, Britton Covey was a freshman All-American in 2015. He's kind of a gadget guy, but he's a solid player. He's very shifty. You know, they do slants and reverses. I mean, he's kind of like their Chico. But, you know, I would say he's like a combo of Chico and Ahmed.
Huntley's careless with the ball, and he didn't take good care of it last year. It appears that that's
he's turnover prone.
Yeah,
and their running back Zach Moss is good, although he did kind of have an ankle issue at the end of the game. I'm sure he'll play, but the point is, other than Britton Covey and Zach Moss, they just have a bunch of jag skill guys. And Huntley is not, you know, yeah, he can run for first down. But even as far as a, even as him being a runner, he doesn't look like he's that great of a runner. I mean, yes, he has athleticism. And as far as passing, I mean, he's not really going to be pushing the ball downfield. So their offense is...
Well, he definitely has the athleticism to extend a play on a third down, right? Keep the chains moving. And, you know, sometimes when we drop a lot of guys, we are we're vulnerable to giving up that, you know, 7 to 12 yard run. We seem to give up that run fairly often. So the concern
would be him against our linebackers. That would be a concern.
What?
It would be him against our linebackers. Like, that's correct. A potential concern.
Correct. That's why you need Nagata out there.
But this is not an offense. Look, if we don't help them out and give them the ball and things like that, this should be an offense that we can control pretty easily. And if we can force turnovers, we can run away with the game. Because Huntley is very turnover prone. And there were several times last year he had a barrage of turnovers. So, and look, their offensive line the last game, even in the first game, it kind of struggled. But the last game, they gave up 6 sacks, a whole lot of TFLs. Now, granted, they're going to be at home. They're probably going to play better, but still, they're struggling. Our defensive line should win that matchup. And hopefully we can get some heat from the edge, get Nagata in there, maybe force a couple turnovers, blow the game open. That's one way to look at it. You know, can we force turn? Because we haven't done that since the 2016 season.
Is Whitford playing or is Porter punting again for this team?
Well, it's hard to know with the injuries because there's no official report. Their special teams have also kind of been bad the first couple weeks, like uncharacteristically bad.
Yes. Agreed. I think the key is obviously not having big flubs, mistakes on special teams, and then, you know, not, what's the word, like just stalling on offense to where we keep Utah in the game with, you know, frankly, poor quarterback play.
Yeah, I mean, look, all
sacks.
Yeah, exactly. Look, all everything being equal, playing on a neutral field, we're clearly a better team. They're not close. They don't have close to the players that we have on offense.
Right. Right.
Their defense is playing well. Their linebackers are playing well. Your boy Chase Hansen, I mean, he's playing really well. Peterson had a comment like, you know, check his eligibility. He was saying that guy's still there. I mean, it would have been funny if, like, he would say, check his birth certificate.
Exactly. Yeah. There was some other guy who's been in, felt like it's on another team, has been there forever. But yeah, Hansen's another guy.
The quarterback on BYU, he's like 25.
Wow.
But also, their secondary is pretty good. They had a lot of injuries when we played them at the end of the year, in the secondary especially. Their defense looks, I mean, it looks pretty solid. I mean, it's interesting because coming into the year, you know, they returned more guys on offense and they were thinking, you know, we're usually pretty good on defense. Huntley can take the next step. We're going to be better. And granted, we're still really early in the season, but it looks like, you know, their defense is exceeding expectations and their offense is, you know, really underwhelming to this point. But no, I think... Yeah, I mean, the game will come down to our offense and not getting affected by the environment, which, I mean, it is going to be fairly difficult. You know, they're really going to be into it. They really, really want to win the game. They have a good crowd, as you've noted. I mean, they're on top of you. It's not a huge stadium.
Yeah, it's just really a key that they don't have this slow start and don't have an early mistake, you know, where, you know, there's some momentum for Utah.
Yeah, just don't help them out. Don't help out their offense in any way, and they're not going to score more than 14 or 17 points.
Exactly. I agree. That's going to be, I think, a huge key to coming out with a victory. Is you know, not having a mistake early, not letting them build momentum off of a big play, and, you know, obviously playing efficient football on offense. I think that's going to be crucial.
Yeah. Now, obviously, if Nick Harris is, if he's out again, it's going to be it's going to be a problem. It's going to be more difficult to run the ball. I mean, their defense is going to be tough. They are playing at home, but it is, you know, we should be able to move the ball. But like you said, we have to be efficient.
Here's the other thing. I'm giving you 15 minutes tops, Chess. So where do you want to go next? I got 15 minutes left of me, buddy.
15 minutes?
That's all I got.
All right, let's go to questions.
Thank you. What's the question?
The question is, I'm bringing them up here.
Okay, I haven't seen a single one of these, so.
Okay.
Fire away.
Okay, Browning, yay or nay? And my response to that is, ask me on Sunday. I think going into the game, you start Browning, but you prepare Haener a little bit more than usual. And
I mean, what do you mean, yay or nay? Like, he starts against Utah?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he just means in general.
I've seen enough. Like, I've seen enough, and I hate to be harsh and critical. I know these guys work really hard, but I'm sorry, but I'm a nay. Well, it's over.
Okay, next question. If we lose and start 1-2, do you think we have enough upperclassmen leadership to not let the season get away? I'd say maybe.
Maybe, but I still think it's going to come down to the coaches to ensure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and if you're 1-2, I mean, you can still win the North. I mean, that doesn't...
Yeah, you can still win the North.
We don't have that difficult of a conference schedule.
I think it's possible, but it's not going to be pretty if they start 1-2.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, if you win this game, you can get back on track. You get, you know, emotions for college kids are fragile. You know, we know that with our quarterback. And if we have an A performance, we cause turnovers on defense. Browning plays a good game. They're going to forget about Auburn. They're going to say, look, this was one of our hardest games. You know, we're in good position. We're going to just play this season out, and, you know, everything's going to be fine. But
you just don't want to put yourself in a hole, and that just puts you a little behind.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Is Jake even one of the leaders in that locker room? I could see Miles, Caleb, Trey before injury. Drew, Gaines, Tevis, JoJo, Taylor, maybe Jalen being the voices in the locker room.
From what I can see, again, outside looking in, it to me doesn't appear like he's much of a leader. I mean, you read stuff that, you know, people know so-and-so in the athletic department, or I know this or that. I mean, frankly, everything that's coming out of there, I mean, it hasn't been very positive. I think the TSIO guys... basically, he's the antithesis of everything Pete talks about. So, I mean, there just hasn't been a lot of support saying otherwise about him and his attitude and his cockiness and his arrogance, which, you know, I hate to bash the kids. You know, they are amateur kids, but
Danny O'Neill says you can't bash the kids.
Look, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, it's big time college football, and it comes with it. And if you're going to play, it's just part of the deal. I mean, it's worse than high school in Texas, probably.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
It's, you know.
And he should, I mean, they should just, he should not read it. I mean, you know that he's been reading Hardcore Husky. It just, you should not be reading that stuff. I mean, there's one player, his mom is one of our listeners, and, you know, she gets upset at some of the things she reads, but, you know, thankfully her son just said, look, just don't look at it, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's on the team, and he doesn't, you know, he never looks at it.
It doesn't serve you. There's nothing positive.
It's just, exactly. There's nothing positive, and it's just garbage.
Yeah, you're going to do yourself a disservice as a player if you're going to go on the message boards and read those threats. It's just not going to... There's no good reason to do it.
Anyway, next question. Why is all of our passes fades or to the sideline? Nothing over the middle to wide receivers.
Mm.
One person said probably because the window, you have to make tight throws, and our QB lacks the arm strength to do so.
You know, funny enough, you know, when Oregon State was playing Ohio State, they had a slant pass. I'm like, you know, they had a big play on a slant pass. I'm like, you know, I was looking for that for 4 years at Washington. Though, if you go back and look at Auburn, they actually did have a number of throws to the middle of the field, more than I remember when I watched it again. But there is a lot of outside stuff, and we do seem to throw some of those fades. Obviously, Ty Jones is a big receiver. Quentin Pounds is athletic. But those are, especially inside the red zone, they are generally lower percentage completions.
Yeah, I mean, and you can throw 50-50 balls to the sideline.
Yeah, but you got to have a receiver that can make the play.
And also, our best receiver for those routes, Hunter Bryant, is injured.
Sure. You know, is it the defense isn't giving him the look? Is it that, you know, Jake's changing the play? I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, next question. How big was losing Nick Harris? Sosa B was a disaster at center. We're going to find out this game. I mean, if Nick Harris doesn't play and our run game is shit, then that will answer that question for you.
Well, I think it's already been answered, and I think the person that asked that question, I think they, you know, if Nick Harris doesn't play, I think it's a huge problem.
But also, Wattenberg has not been good so far.
No, he has struggled mightily. I wouldn't be shocked if his, if it's just a short leash for him. I mean, and I said it last week, he appeared to be a better
tackle
at left tackle.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, he played better at left tackle last year than he's played at guard.
In your opinion, does Coach Peterson feel like we have a QB controversy? I'd say definitely not. Could at all see him pulling Browning during this Utah game? I think it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think in Pete's mind whatsoever there's a QB controversy. But like I said early on, I think he could have his hand forced to make that call.
Yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned that Browning, upon talking to Bush Hamden, when he found out that he wouldn't be playing the fourth quarter, he slammed the phone down.
According to Jude, he came off the field, he got on the phone, he slammed the phone down, he didn't come back onto the field. So, I don't know what else he would have said to him to have done that, but he wasn't playing anymore. He was done for the day.
How many snaps do Tryon and Nagata get versus Utah?
I think Nagata gets at least 10. I mean, he played so late in that North Dakota game.
He only played 3 snaps.
I think he
should have been playing a lot more.
Yeah, I don't think he gets any snaps against Utah, though. There's nothing telling me he is.
Yeah. But, that might be another coaching fuck-up, is not getting Tryon. I mean, that's the game where you should have been getting him more snaps.
Yes, for some reason he didn't earn snaps in that game, so nothing's telling me he's earned snaps for Utah. Even with his play in his, you know, short series against North Dakota.
Next question. Over under on Browning turnovers, interceptions and fumbles.
I think he turns the ball over a minimum two times.
This guy said he'd set the line at 2.5.
Yeah.
I'd probably say 1.5 or 2.
I think he's going to turn the ball over at least two times.
Next question. Do we need to blitz more due to lack of pass rush? Dude, I'm giving you 60% to win. Does that mean 60% chance?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. We pressured Auburn at times, and Stidham picked apart our pressure. Now, do I think Huntley's going to pick apart our pressure? Probably not.
But Stidham, in the second half, I wouldn't say he picked apart the pressure. I mean, that when he made that third down play, that's because BBK, or maybe it was Beavers, but I think it was BBK, they didn't guard the back who leaked out. I mean, he didn't do anything for, you know, most of the, from the middle of the second quarter until that point.
When we brought pressure to me, my memory sucked, so I could be wrong, but I thought that he identified, you know, where the pressure was coming from and was able to get the ball out.
At least early in the game, but not in the second half.
I don't think we have anyone. The only people that appear to have any sort of ability to get pressure on the quarterback is Nagata. So for him to do that, he's got to be on the field. And then, you know, Tryon appears to have a lot of athleticism. Outside of those guys getting pressure on the quarterback, that's elite. We don't have that outside of those guys, from what I can tell.
Look, with Utah's offensive line really struggling, we should be able to get pressure with four guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we shouldn't need, and I don't want to see BBK blitzing. Yeah, they can blitz rap occasionally, but I don't want to see BBK blitzing.
No.
But with four guys, with how poorly their offensive line has been playing, we should get pressure with four guys. You know, have Benning do that thing where he loops and he comes in the middle, because that's where he's more effective.
Next question.
And then, you know, Nagata can be the fourth guy, you know, occasionally.
Sure.
What is the status of Nick Harris for Saturday against Utah?
Is that a trick question?
No, it's, you know, obviously, it's a great question.
Well, shit, I mean, do people after all these years know that Pete doesn't say shit about injured players?
Yeah, but they're still hoping that word may have leaked out. You know, we hear some things at times.
I can tell you right now, I don't have a clue. I had no idea Nick Harris was even out for last week. You know, hearing Beavers in a boot, there was no mention of that. I mean, we won't know shit until game time.
You're getting a little salty, Jimmy. I like it.
Well, God, I just, you know, I get texts from friends like, what's the status of so-and-so? Like, what happened to who? I'm like, have you been paying attention? I mean, Pete provides literally zero insight on injuries. I mean, it's still not clear what happened to Hunter Bryant. I mean, he had to come out about Trey. We didn't learn about the ACL forever. Then he had to talk about his back injury. I mean, this Pete doesn't give us anything to work with on injury front, and he never will. He never will.
Yeah. Okay, let me get to our last bunch of questions.
Okay, what's next?
Can you explain to the audience why Gaskin's struggles these two games aren't equal to Browning's struggles? I think we covered that early on. But look, anybody who's worried about Gaskin or trying to compare his struggles to Browning, I mean, that's just bullshit. Kindly check yourself into the nearest mental institution for some help. You can thank us later.
I have no concerns for Gaskin whatsoever.
Yeah, he's a baller.
Yeah.
Don't worry about Gaskin. There's plenty of other things to worry about.
After Browning, is the offensive line or the linebackers the biggest concern on the team? I'm worried both units are going to play like Kaka the rest of the year.
Well, your concern about Kaka is valid. It, you know, as we've mentioned, the linebacker unit cannot take injury whatsoever.
And DJ Beavers got hurt.
Yeah.
And same with the offensive line. I mean, we're already down two starters, basically. Hopefully Harris can come back for this game. And ASU also. I mean, did you see – I mean, I know ASU's defense will be different on the road. It's probably plays so much better at home. But, I mean, that looked like a pretty good defense. And they always give us trouble.
But, you know, think about Michigan State. They played at 10:30 their time in 107-degree weather. I mean, that is just – I don't know why any school in their right mind would even consider – that game to play. Honestly, what are you going to gain from that? Playing their time zone, playing in that heat early in the year. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry, but that's stupid. You're stupid to schedule that game unless they're god awful. But can you imagine your body clock at 10:30 in 100+ degree weather? I mean,
that's ASU has such a huge home field advantage.
Oh, it's massive.
Especially, you know, going against like a team from the Midwest. That's why they're undefeated against the Big Ten.
Like, granted, I'm sure Michigan was playing in hot weather, but there's just no way to prepare for that unless you're in that weather year round. Yeah. They basically are. You know,
it's Arizona. A huge advantage.
Yeah, it just is. I don't care what. You want to argue the weather, you want to argue the heat, in that scenario, I will argue both.
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the question, I'm just concerned. Yeah, I mean, I think offensive line and linebacker, those are the two positions where we could not afford injuries.
Yeah, they're thin.
And we already, look at linebacker. How many, you know, we lost Cahoe, we lost Eifler, Wellington, I guess he's up to 235, but he's hurt. Do you know his status?
No, I don't know shit, man.
We have not recruited. I know the last year or two we haven't recruited that. You know, there's been an issue at linebacker, but I mean injuries and we've lost all of our talented linebackers either to injury. They left the school. Two of them did.
I'm getting to my limit here. We've been over those topics. What's next?
Hayner had the best single quarter performance by a UWQB since Warren Moon on the first quarter of the 1977 Apple Cup. Why is he getting so much hate? I don't think Hayner's getting any hate.
I don't think so either. I haven't seen anyone bashing Hayner.
Yeah.
I mean.
All right, two more. Where are we going to get a pass rush that's not a blitz? You know, it's probably going to have to come from Benning. I still have a little bit of hope. Or Nagata. I mean, or it's going to have to continue to come from the middle.
Or maybe it can come from Levi.
Yeah. Or Gaines and Jalen Johnson.
Yeah. But I can't tell you. I think we've identified some guys that appear to have it, but we need a larger sample set to give an answer to that question.
Yeah, and how Nagata and Benning play the rest of the year, that's really important to our success because that is an area which, if we improve in, it's going to – I mean, that's the area of improvement that can have the largest impact on the overall team.
Next question.
Enough of this Browning versus Hayner BS. The bigger position head scratcher is why do we have Benning starting over Nagata or Tryon? Would you like to see this versus Utah?
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean that's just nonsense because Benning is so good at setting the edge, and he's very good as a run defender. He's an okay pass rusher at this point, and you just. The other guys are just situational. I mean, Nagata and Tryon, they're situational players at this point. I mean, Nagata is going to get more reps. Nagata's 220. You can't have him on the edge, like on first and second down.
No. No, I mean, Manuel Benning's played in the defense for a number of years. It's just
he needs to develop a spin move or something. I haven't seen him do anything other than just run at the blocker.
Yeah, I mean, all the off-season reports and the fall reports are wrong. He is not faster. He does not have a quicker twitch to him, but. There's no way either of those guys are going to start in place of Benning. No. All right. Do we get through the questions? Do we want to do prediction? Do we want to get going?
Let me just make sure. Yeah, we got every question.
All right.
This was a very serious podcast.
It was. What's next?
Predictions. You're now, since Road Dog left us, you're the Ricky Henderson of podcast predictions.
All right. So I actually was going to pick Utah to win this game, but I feel like Washington's going to win by 10. And I think the final score will be, 27-20. Or, I'm sorry.
That's a 7 points, brother.
27-17.
So this is going to be Haener's first win, you think?
Yeah, I think Haener's going to be instrumental in this victory. Yeah, I think we're going to score 27 points, and the defense is going to wrangle Huntley. They're going to force him to pass and. They're just not gonna be able to generate enough offense to keep up. So I think 27-17, Washington wins the football game. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to say I think we're going to lose.
You're picking a loss.
Yeah, I think the environment's going to be tough and injuries on the line. And Browning may be hurt, like you said.
Okay, well, I like that we're split on it, I guess, because, I just hope I'm right and you're wrong. And I can rub it in your face.
Yeah, I'm going to say 24-20.
They're going to score 24 points, huh?
Yeah, off of turnovers.
All right. Well, we'll see, won't we?
Britton Covey's going to have like a long return for a touchdown. I think they're going to get like two cheap scores.
Great.
Yeah, I'm going to jump into Bryce Canyon after the game.
Yeah, well, I'll probably be like jumping off a roof or something. Well, you enjoy the game down there, buddy. You have a great time.
Yeah, wait, I'll tell you that. Sunday or Saturday night at 11:45 p.m. or whenever the game ends, 11:30, because I think it's 8 o'clock Utah time, right? Is Utah 1 hour ahead?
Is it 7 or 7:30 kick? I think it's an hour ahead.
8 p.m. Actually, I'm looking at my tickets. Yeah, it's 8 p.m.
Yeah. Jeez.
F&A, brother. F&A. 8 p.m. Yeah. See how I feel at like 11:30.
Well, I'm sure I'll hear from you.
Yeah, I'm going to jump into Bryce Canyon if we lose. You'll have to find somebody else to take over the pod.
Yeah, well, the season will definitely be over if they lose.
Yeah. Well, the season is over. If we lose, the season is over for Jake Browning.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I think you can say that. The season and career is over.
All right, I'm not going to argue that. Pivotal. I said it right that time.
Yeah, pivotal. That's the key word.
It is. That's our word for the night, pivotal.
forget about the playoff. Let's just root for – let's root against the other teams that we play, root for them to get lots of injuries so we can win the North and win the conference. Win the North
and get to the title game. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't care about anything else. All right. Let's close it up.
All right, brother. We're not going to drag it on like last week.
Yeah, let's not.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you again next week. Go Dawgs.